Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, September 10th, 2014. And with me today, I have... I'm going to start a band. You'll be my backup singers. John Martellaro, how are you, John?
Just call me the wizard.
Yeah,
oh,
wizard.
Sorry. I screwed up. I'm the guru.
That's...
I had wizard on
we'll
the
fix
mind.
Fix it in post. Don't worry. No one will ever know that happened. And
good morning to you, Kelly, wizard.
Now I'm not sure what the appropriate response is. If I'm a backup singer, don't I just have to go ooh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh ooh.
We'll work on the choreographed dancing later.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Okay. So. Yesterday, we were all fired up, and we're still on the adrenaline rush that comes from having to cover so much information so quickly. And I think we've had time to catch our breaths between yesterday and today. And so there's a couple other things out of Apple's media event where we saw the iPhone 6 and the Apple Watch that I thought would be interesting to talk about. And the first one is something that you guys brought up in our morning meeting. And this is how it looks like we are moving away from products that start with the letter I.
Mm-hmm. Tell us your story, Kelly. You start, because you had a good angle on it.
Well, I have a theory about this. I think that we know the reason the I started long ago. When Steve Jobs made his return, incidentally, at the Flint Center, when he came back, he debuted the iMac and was very upfront at the time that the I was for internet. And the ads at the time, which you reminded me of, John, in our meeting, there's no step three, Jeff Goldblum, you know, all of that. The whole thing was internet. It's an internet Mac. It shipped with Internet Explorer. It had all this, you know, internet-enabled technology stuff that you could do, like everything shipped with a modem standard, which at the time was unusual. And they did this computer in particular was one that really, I don't know that it necessarily drove people to go get internet service from ISPs, but it's definitely something that made it a lot easier and a lot more common. And so the I was for internet. It was a special thing. It was, you know, the whole reason for the iMac was the internet Mac. And I think that that's not special anymore. Everything has internet. My in-laws bought a washer and dryer recently that has an app that will tell them over the internet when the washing is done, when the laundry finishes. So, like, everything has internet now. You can get light switches. You can get, you know, the toaster, whatever. Everything is internet enabled anymore, so it's not a special thing that you necessarily have to call out. So I think that's why the I is going away.
You have some specific historical evidence there from Steve Jobs, and I believe you're right, absolutely spot on. But I always had the kind of vague feeling through the years that Steve was also enamored with the branding, the quality of the BMW use of the word I, as well. And I my suspicion and feeling is that Steve also thought that in addition to internet, the I also brought this kind of high-level BMW-like branding to the product name. But over the years, that kind of wore out its welcome. And when you're trying to develop a new product that's revolutionary, like Apple Pay and the watch, You really want to get back to the core basics of, you know, Apple is the branding name instead of the cutesy I that seems to be kind of wearing out its welcome too.
Well, and now that you bring up that it was a very Steve Lee thing, it's entirely possible that another thing that sort of maybe this is what put them over the edge for the switch was it was a Steve Lee thing for stuff to start with I. And I don't know if anybody's noticed, but Steve doesn't run things anymore. It's the Tim Cook Show there in Cupertino now. And maybe this is just another way for it to completely be Tim Cook's Apple, is that the I is sort of on its way out.
I think you're right. I agree.
Yeah, that's where I've been leaning. I think that this is Tim Cook's Apple, and he's putting his mark on the company, and his mark does not start with a lowercase I.
Right.
The other thing that happens is that I think, I haven't explored as deeply, but I think it provides you a little more flexibility too. You know, you can carry products on into the future. You know, you can have Apple TV, Apple Watch, Apple Pay, Apple this, Apple that. It keeps on going and going and going, and you never lose track of the fact that it's an Apple product. Whereas an iWatch kind of drops into the background. I mean, everybody would know that an iWatch is an Apple product, but this kind of leads to a better line of naming, I think, too.
Definitely. Sure. And remember, the Apple TV started life as the iTV because when they gave the presentation, Steve slipped and called it iTV a couple of times and mentioned that they changed the name.
Yeah, wasn't there a British company that raised a fuss? ITV in the UK,
yeah.
Yes.
They had to switch gears on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm actually glad they did because I think Apple TV is a better name.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Okay, another thing that I wanted to talk about goes back to yesterday. We mentioned Apple Pay as opposed to iPay. Apple Pay, while we were talking about all the announcements from Apple's media event, and you guys brought up an interesting point today before we started recording, and that was, why should anyone feel like they can trust Apple Pay when we're dealing with the fallout from nude celebrity photos being stolen from iCloud?
Well, you know, Apple's got to forge on with technology and what it does, despite the fact that there might be some naysayers and some people who don't quite understand what happened. did you guys notice that Jimmy Fallon was making jokes at Apple's expense about the original, you know, iCloud snafu with photos? And I think Apple kind of roped Jimmy and Justin into the fold by letting them do the commercial as a way of, you know, kind of helping them be part of the process and stakeholders as opposed to, you know, throwing rocks at the castle.
I don't know. Jimmy Fallon was still doing jokes about Apple last night.
Was he? Yeah. Well,
yeah. Even though they peeled the cover off his Apple logo on his laptop, you can tell it's a MacBook now instead of just knowing.
Oh, it finally pulled that off. Well, yep. Maybe I was curious about that when he switched to the Tonight Show. Maybe the Tonight Show didn't want to pay or whatever. But there's some politics going on behind the scenes that's interesting about that. But certainly. But when it comes to basic technology, when it comes to the storage, the secure storage of your payment information and the secure transmission of the one-time authorization string to make purchases, you know, the Apple's on pretty good ground with the technology. And, you know, while it was a bad PR situation, you know, this saner heads, cooler heads usually prevail, and Apple just has to move on with the technology.
Well, this is also a different technology, and the fundamental difference between the credit card stuff that they're doing now with Apple Pay and the photo stream stuff they do with iCloud is that there's not a password involved. It's not easy for me to sit down and go, I'm going to be able to get all of Jeff's credit card information because I know all of Jeff's pet's names. I know Jeff's middle name. I know Jeff's birthday. So if I enter it backwards, like, that's totally going to get me into Jeff's credit card information. Not going to happen. There's no password involved. So the part that was the failure in the iCloud photo stuff was passwords and the fact that you could try all the live long day and continue to fire passwords against iCloud and see if something would get you in. And you don't have that option with the Apple Pay stuff. And Apple doesn't have that information. This was something that was interesting to me yesterday as they were on stage, was talking about all the stuff they didn't know about you. Even if you use Apple Pay for all kinds of stuff, there's a lot of stuff that they don't know. And they were very upfront about, we don't know your credit card number. We don't know the code on the back. You don't have to hand your card to somebody who can get that information, you know, and store it away for later. None of that stuff is possible. We don't know any of these things because of how the technology is set up. So Apple doesn't even have any of that information.
They're cashing in on this privacy thing. Apple is making a big deal. Mm-hmm. Kelly, what do you
think? I found it to be very interesting that they went out of the way to say these are the things we don't know.
Yeah.
And then to make a point to say we are not in the business of collecting your information.
Yes.
Kelly, I got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
There's been some discussion here and there about ARM-based MacBooks. You think we'll ever see, when you do something on your iPhone, you touch it. But when you work on your Mac, you're kind of distanced from it. You have a mouse and you look at a screen. You ever think we'll ever see an ARM-based MacBook with Touch ID?
Silence. You know, I'm not sure. I'm sure it exists. Of that, I have no doubt. Whether or not it's going to become a product and something that Apple's going to sell, I think that there's probably more that they want to get right in order to make that an experience that people would be interested in.
You know, but Apple develops these technologies in a test case. I mean, not a test case, but they roll out stuff that is bits and pieces, and they work on the bits and pieces until they're all glued together right, and then they develop an integrated product. So it could be this is all leading towards, you know, more security on the Mac side too with fingerprints.
Well, and I also think that if they were to do it, it would lend more credibility to the drum that I beat all the time, which is technological honesty and people sort of realizing that. You know, the example I normally have is the iPad, where people, if somebody's really honest with themselves and goes, you know, I look at the web some, and really all I need is I like to look at the book face, and I like the email, and I like to play the slot machine game. And as long as you have all of those things, you're covered, which means you could get away with an iPad. People think they need a full computer. They don't always need a full computer. Maybe they just need an iPad. Maybe it's an iPad mini. I think that something like that would be, because an ARM processor is going to be, at least at this point, is going to be a slightly lighter weight processor than the i5 and the i7 that we have in those machines now. And I think that if people were technologically honest, a lot of people could get away with an ARM processor and be totally happy with it.
One of the things that worries me about that is that you wouldn't be able to run, you wouldn't be able to install Windows either with Boot Camp or a virtual machine on an ARM processor. So
yet.
Maybe the answer to that is instead of trying to move the MacBooks over to ARM, the answer is to make the iPads more powerful with extensions, be able to do more content creation, build a bigger screen, and so on, and move in that direction so that 90% of the people can do their work and get their job done and do internet purchasing and security with Touch ID on their new iPad Air 2.
Yeah, I think that is a path that makes more sense for Apple. Mm-hmm. Keep the Intel processors for their trucks, so to speak, and then keep refining their mobile processors for the iPads and iPhones and iPod Touches.
There you go. I think we nailed it. We nailed it.
I think that's it. Given all the stuff that they didn't say yesterday, I'm pretty sure we've got another event coming.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have yet to find anybody who can give me a compelling reason why Tim Cook is not going to roll out on stage again in maybe a month and talk to me about the iPad that I'm going to get for Christmas.
We'll be
right. And I hope when he comes out on stage that he makes a point to compliment John, or at least remind him that he owes me a drink.
Yes, I do. A glass of McAllen 18 is in the wings here next time we're at a bar.
I am looking forward to having a drink with you. And we're pretty much out of time.
I kind of figured.
So, yeah. So we'll end on the happy note of at some point in the near future, John and I are going to sit down at a bar together and enjoy a drink, as well we should.
McAllen 18.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. John, thank you for joining me today.
It was a pleasure.
And Kelly, thank you too. I always enjoy getting your opinions on whatever it is we decide to talk about. So, thanks again.
Anytime, Jeff.